The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that his statutes and just decrees are so righteous as all the law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." When he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So one of the best nuggets of wisdom that you're going to get from the world, one of the best nuggets of wisdom you'll ever hear out there in the world is follow your heart. And, oh, it sounds so nice, doesn't it? It's like hot chocolate and a warm blanket on a cold winter's morning. Just kind of gives you the warm fuzzies inside when you hear that. Follow your heart, as if there's something inside of you, inside of that heart that is pure. Something within that can enlighten you and guide you to fulfillment in this life. But let's think about this for a moment. Follow Your Heart is literally the overarching narrative of our day, right? It's everywhere. It's preached everywhere to us, to our kids, to our grandkids, everywhere. It's the message in the music that we hear on the radio. When you're looking for a job and you want some advice, follow your heart. It's the theme of nearly every movie that you watch, especially the Disney movies that your kids are watching. Oh, you're not feeling happy about your mundane, everyday responsibilities, you know, like the ones that God has actually called you to do. Well, follow your heart. And I'm sure that there's a fairy tale ending waiting just for you. It's also the philosophy that is behind the LGBTQ+, whatever it is now at this point, agenda. Your heart determines what is true, so you can be anything that you want to be. Never mind what God actually created you to be. What does your heart say? You can do anything that you want to do. If it feels right, how can it be wrong? Follow your heart. If your heart becomes bored with your spouse, follow your heart. If there's something inconveniencing you in this life, follow your heart. If you're not all that fond of sacrificing yourself out of love and service to the neighbor, follow your heart. If you find church boring, follow your heart. If you're not happy, then do whatever your precious little heart desires. Follow your heart. It's horrible advice. Horrible. That's right. Could you imagine? That's right. Could you imagine if we lived in a world where generation after generation of kids have grown up on a steady diet of this message, hearing this message over and over and over until they believe it to be true? Oh, wait. You don't have to imagine it, because we're in it. We are in it right now. And many of us might actually have been rather complicit in it, perhaps even teaching our children or grandchildren much of the same thing. I think you get the picture at this point. Follow your heart is very bad advice. It's essentially saying to someone, do whatever you want to do. Follow your heart. It creates a license for sin, and it shirks the responsibility that God has called us to, the duty, the sacrifice, the love, the service that we have for our neighbor. So really, it is the opposite of true love, godly, divine love, which we are called to do. Especially when we consider what Jesus says this morning in our gospel reading about the heart. Of course, in our gospel reading this morning, it continues on, the verses that we have this morning continue on from last week's verses. So he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He's responding to them. In those previous verses, if you remember from last week, the scribes and the Pharisees thought that their ceremonial hand washing would somehow keep them from corruption, keep them spiritually pure, right? Or their hearts free from corruption. But this is why Jesus explains that it's not what goes into the body, right? If you eat with these defiled hands and you eat this stuff, it's not what defiles you. Rather, the defiling is already there, he says. It's already in your heart. And then he turns to his disciples and he explains further. He said to them, this is the disciples, he says, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that what goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? And he declares all food clean with that statement. Then he said, what comes out of the person is what defiles him. Why? Because from within, Jesus says, verse 21 and following, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within the heart. That is what defiles a person. And I think you all know this to be true. if your conscience is in any way informed and shaped by Christ and his word, then your own sin and the depths to which your sinful heart can sink, the depravity that your sinful heart can sink to with wicked thoughts and words and deeds, well, that ought to scare you, frighten you, just how deep your heart can sink. Apart from Christ, there is no floor, no depth that the human heart, the depravity of the human heart, can sink. So your heart should never be your moral compass, your moral guide. Never. The unbelieving world has been following their hearts for decades now. It's not going well, is it? So as Christians, if we were to let our hearts be our guide and our ultimate moral compass, it's not going to end well for us either. We're going to be in deep, deep trouble. Because ever since the fall into sin, the human heart is by nature corrupted by sin, defiled. It is wicked. And Scripture is clear about this. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? According to God and God's word, what we really need is a heart transplant. We need a new one. We need to get rid of that depraved, sick, sinful heart. We need it removed from our chest, and we need it replaced with a new one that pumps Christ's life into us. We need to get rid of that filthy, corrupt, wicked, untruthful, lying, deceitful heart of stone and have it replaced with a clean, righteous, truthful, righteous, healthy heart of flesh. Look at King David. King David is a man after God's own heart, right? A man after God's own heart. But King David shamefully follows not God's heart, but his own heart. How did that go? His own heart told him, rather than following God's heart, his own heart told him, you know what? Take Bathsheba forcibly as to be yours. Impregnating her then, you know what? Lie about it. Cover it up. Even, murder her husband in order to cover up your wickedness. There's no limit to the depravity of the human heart. But when God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David with the truth that he, David, was following his own heart rather than God's heart, leading him away from the truth, away from the light, and leading to this devious wickedness, this pit of darkness. Well, God led David, thanks be to God, he led him to recognize that sin, repent of it, and cry out to God what we have in our intro today from Psalm 51, and also which after this sermon we're going to sing in the offertory. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I need a new one. Like David, we too need a clean heart, a new heart. Where do we get this new, clean heart from? Well, there we have the true meaning of Christ's words in Matthew 19, 26, where he says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With surgical precision, God graciously takes his scalpel, he cuts into our heart, and he replaces our heart of death, and he gives us a new one, a pure gift from God alone. Without Christ, there is no depth to which the human heart cannot sink. But with Christ, we're given a new heart, a clean heart, one that now beats for God and beats for the neighbor. God's scalpel, of course, is his word. His word comes to us just as it did through Nathan to David. His word comes to us and diagnoses the problem. And this is done out of love, right? David was one after God's own heart. He loved him. So this is done out of love. And that law then comes to us, and it is deep into our sinful life, into our sinful hearts. It cuts deep. And he teaches us to stop listening to that gross, diseased thing and start listening to him. And then through the gospel, the Lord comes to us and he forgives all of our sins through Christ Jesus. All of those times where we have followed our heart, our sinful heart, instead of God's heart. And through this gospel, then, he performs the life-saving, life-giving heart transplant that we all so desperately need. You are forgiven. And he does this by pointing you to the 3 days when his son's heart stopped beating, as he died for you to save you from all of your sins. And then he also points you to the empty tomb where Christ's heart started beating once again, pumping once again, life for all men. Our life is now new. Our heart is now clean in Christ. And our heart now, the heart that is pumping within you, now flows from Christ's eternally beating heart. And that's good news, because what is Christ's heart like? It is a heart of patience. It is a heart of love, steadfast love, heart of grace and mercy and compassion and forgiveness for each one of you. God does create a clean heart within us. God has given you a new heart of faith. All credit goes to him and him alone. It is not of our own worthiness or merit. He has done it. But now you have a heart that trusts God, that trusts all of his promises, that Jesus really is enough, that he forgives all of your sins. A heart that now willingly fights against those evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, and all other evil things that come out from within. As recipients of God's life-saving, life-giving heart transplant, we rejoice. We rejoice in his patience, in his steadfast love, his mercy and compassion, and his forgiveness. And at the same time now, our clean new hearts beat with that same patience, love, mercy, forgiveness, compassion for our neighbor, for all others. Follow your heart? Nah. Follow Jesus. And follow his word. Praise Jesus that he already took that disgusting, gross thing beating in your chest, that heart, and he has already nailed it to the cross. The old, corrupt, sinful heart is dead. 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 It is right where it belongs. It is rotting in Jesus Christ's empty tomb. Thanks be to God, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you got a new one. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.